From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, L.A. Marzulli joins us on Prophecy and the Supernatural. Get ready for that. By the way, happy second anniversary to the NighthawkZone.com folks out there celebrating tonight, having a great time. 2 years old now. As a matter of fact, Luna Bella sent Lex an incredible graphic that's up there on the coasttocoastam.com website right now. Well, more problems at NASA. They may have fixed this little one here on Endeavour. Engineers repaired an air leak in the Space Shuttle Endeavour's cabin. The engineers found that the leak during the weekend pre-launch pressure testing of the space shuttle, a bolt that connects to the side hatch of the shuttle, wasn't tight enough, causing an air leak at four times the rate than NASA allows. It was tightened, and engineers say that the air leak stopped. What happens if it comes loose on launch? Endeavour set the launch August 7th at 7 o'clock at night. And the launch of NASA's largest mission to Mars has been delayed. The Phoenix spacecraft was to have launched on Friday, but liftoff has now been rescheduled. Severe weather around the launch pad at Cape Canaveral, Florida, prevented engineers from fueling the second stage of the rocket. Our Richard C. Hoagland, head of the EnterpriseMission.com and soon to be another author with Mike Barra on Dark Mission, The Secret History of NASA, with us on the line. Hey, Richard.
Hi, George. You know, it seems we never talk about NASA these days except talking about problems, and the space program is really about opportunities, but it's we have to do it. I mean, this is a very serious shuttle problem. If you have a cabin leak, ultimately your astronauts will asphyxiate. So obviously they have to find the leak, and this is actually two leaks. The one they had over the weekend, they fixed by half-tightening that bolt, what they called hand-tight, and then they did what they call a leak check test, where they fill the cabin with high-pressure air, and they basically watch and see if the pressure drops, and if it doesn't, you don't have a leak. When they did a second leak check test on Monday night, they had another leak.
Oh, geez.
And they haven't chased that one down yet. They've isolated it to a couple of valves that are down behind, of all places, the toilet in the lower cabin, in the mid-deck area. But they haven't really chased it down, and if they don't solve it in the next few hours, they will have to delay the launch because a whole bunch of things are backed up in the countdown waiting for the leak check to pass successfully the test.
Richard, if a loose nut here on the bolt into the side hatch, if that is loose and it causes four times the rate of air to leak, and they say they've tightened it, what the heck happens during one of these huge vibrations during the launch?
Okay, the Endeavour shuttle has undergone in the last 5 years a complete refurbishment. In 2002, she had her last flight, and then they took her into the hangar, and they basically rebuilt her. And this is the first flight since that rebuild. So as you know, with any car, you know, when it comes off the line, there may be a few little problems that have to be solved. Normally, these bolts and everything don't come loose. And if there was a small problem, it's probably because of the complete reflight refurbishment. But I am curious about the second leak, because in a leak test, when you fill the cabin with high pressure air, any leak that is there should be found. The fact that there was a second leak popped up between, you know, the weekend and last night indicates to me that maybe something else is going on, and we should kind of watch this really carefully because it doesn't seem to be situation nominal.
Now, we'll watch that, and of course, the Phoenix spacecraft has been delayed. Eventually, that will go. Hopefully, it'll be a successful mission to Mars. This is supposed to look for soil and ice samples and maybe signs of past and present life, huh?
This is the one that's going to actually look for organics on Mars. They're going to land in the polar region. They have a 10-month mission flight from launch. It takes 10 months to get to Mars. It's a heavy spacecraft. It's soft landing in the North Polar region. What actually, George, the issue is here is that you only have a three-week window. And the first day of the window was Friday. They missed that because of the weather. They couldn't fuel the Delta II launch vehicle. This mission will take priority over Endeavour. In fact, it may actually push the launch of the space shuttle back, even if they solve this cabin leak problem, because with only a three-week window, every day you're eating in your launch window, and as you know from launch windows, if you get outside them, you can't literally get from one planet to another because of limited energy and fuel. So the Phoenix launch will take precedence. NASA's already said that. So if it doesn't launch successfully on Saturday morning at something like 2:42 a.m. Eastern time, it could eat into the Endeavour launch, and they may actually postpone the shuttle even if they solve the technical problems.
Okay, we'll watch both of those in the book, Dark Mission, The Secret History of NASA. When does that hit the stands?
This fall, George. It's going to be a big deal because I've got astonishing evidence in there of everything I've said over the last 20 years.
Well, this fall is coming up, Richard, so we'll be talking to you way before that.
Thanks, George.
All right, that's Richard C. Hoagland, head of the EnterpriseMission.com, monitoring all those situations, the comings and goings at NASA. The UN Security Council has approved, and it's about time, a 26,000-strong peacekeeping force for Darfur to try to help end the 4 years of fighting that has killed more than 200,000 people in the conflict-racked area of the Sudanese region. Retired Army Lieutenant General Philip Kessinger, a three-star general formerly in charge of U.S. Special Operations in Afghanistan, has been singled out for censure for his role in notifying the family of Army Ranger Pat Tillman, who died by friendly fire in April of 2004. The Army Secretary Peter Guerin has ordered a review board to investigate whether to strip Kissinger of one of his stars, which would also reduce his pension by approximately $900 a month if the board of four-star generals recommends this rebuke. Their recommendation is non-binding. Nine other officers were also criticized but not punished. Guerin says that Kissinger is being censured for lying about his role and not notifying the family in a timely fashion that a friendly fire incident was suspected. Those lies apparently took place to investigators 7 months after Tillman died. Tillman was 27 when he was killed in 2004. He had joined the Rangers after walking away from a $3.6 million pro football contract. There will be more on this Pat Tillman story, I can guarantee it. A disturbing new study of youth smokers finds that it only takes 2 days from when they first start inhaling cigarettes to become addicted to nicotine. And children need only smoke 7 cigarettes a month, they say, to report symptoms of dependence. Chief Justice John Roberts walked out of a hospital in Maine, released a day after he suffered a seizure. The Chief Justice, he's 52 years old, plans to continue his summer vacation. Doctors apparently have found no cause for concern after evaluating him. I don't know why not. If somebody has a seizure, you think that's serious. He was hospitalized after he fell on a dock near his summer home near Port Clyde, Maine. Now, you'd be very wary if you ask your boss for a raise. Listen to this one. In Atlanta, a car dealer there murdered 2 employees because they kept asking for raises. In East Point, Georgia, the owner of a car dealership has been accused of killing 2 employees because they kept asking for raises. He's been charged with 2 counts of murder. He told police that he was having financial problems, and he shot the 2 because they just kept asking for more money. A volcano in the central Philippines spewed ash, blanketing fields and villages as far as 3 miles away. No immediate sign of a major eruption yet. The 5,150-foot volcano has been showing signs of unrest with on-and-off ash and steam explosions since March of 2006. This could be the year of the volcanoes on planet Earth, by the way. Gunshots were heard over the weekend near the home of Ed and Elaine Brown. They were convicted of tax evasion, but they do not believe that they are compelled to pay taxes. They do not believe there's a law that forces them to do that. In a moment, we are going to be talking with Elaine Brown and also Joyce Riley, because she has been a longtime friend of the Browns. We're going to get an update on this situation next on Coast to Coast AM. Of course, we've been checking with Elaine Brown for some time now. She is with us to give us updates on the situation out at her home with her husband, Ed. Elaine, how are you?
Good evening, George. I'm fine. How
good,
you doing?
Good to have you back with us. And, of course, Joyce Riley, she met Ed and Elaine Brown 10 years ago when Ed invited Joyce to hold a veterans meeting at the VFW. You know, Joyce works and heads up the Gulf War Vets Association. They were mutual supporters of finding the truth on many issues, and Joyce and her husband, Dave, are currently supporting the Browns in their efforts to educate the public on current tax laws or the lack thereof. Joyce Riley back on Coast to Coast. Hey, Joyce, how are you?
Well, hello, George. Thank you so very much. And hello to Elaine.
Hi, Joyce. Good to talk to you again.
Hi, dear.
Joyce, I wanted to have you with us because you know Elaine. You know her well. And, of course, we have always been dear friends. And I want to get your perspective on this situation. But, Elaine, I understand that shots were heard around your home this weekend. Can you tell us what was going on?
Sure. It was Saturday night, about 11:15. And we heard multiple shots coming from down the hill behind our home. 35 shots were heard over about a 20-25 minute period. After that, two of our house guests, well, we had two house guests at that time, and one of them has an RV, and he's been staying in that. And the two of them were up there chatting, and they started, after the shots were fired, they started hearing noises in the woods around the perimeter. And they came down to the house for a while and then went back up there. And during the night, throughout the night, they were able to hear noises in the woods, and someone periodically would bang on the trailer and rock it back and forth. These are scare tactics that went on throughout the night until dawn. We have no idea who it was. We have no proof who it was.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, or if it was just some locals who, you know, got a little look it up on a Saturday night and decided to have some stupid fun. But it was a scary situation, you know, especially in view of the shots that were fired at Danny Riley, a few weeks ago.
He's a neighbor, right?
No, he's a house guest. In fact, he was one of the house guests who was here this past weekend.
Okay.
So, where they shot at him and then tasered him and kidnapped him and, tried to coerce him into spying on us and telling lies and so forth. So, you know, in view of that, in the view of our situation, of course, we assumed it was the feds, but we really don't know who it was.
Elaine, don't you think if 30 or 40 shots were fired that law enforcement would have been all over the place to find out what was going on?
Well, the local police and our select board has told us that they will do nothing to protect us. In fact, the police chief has said if something happens, he will not allow any emergency vehicles to come here. And he actually made a statement to the press. It was in Monday's paper, saying that the whole incident was a fabrication, that we just made it all up. Nothing happened.
Joyce Riley, what do you think of all of this?
Well, I think that the country is fascinated by Dr. Elaine and Ed Brown. And the reason being that, George, these are people of substance. They are not people that are living out of the back of a Pinto who don't want to pay a $5,000 tax bill. These are people of substance who believe so very much in something that they are willing to die for it. And I think that's what's fascinating so many people, because these are very responsible, very educated, very documented people who are saying that they don't want to live in tyranny. And I'm not trying to speak for them, because I happen to have so much, respect I cannot tell you for Dr. Elaine and Ed Brown. And as you mentioned earlier, 10 years ago, Ed invited me, and I did not know them at the time, but out of the blue, he invited me to come to New Hampshire and please put on a meeting to help Gulf War veterans. I want to help take care of Gulf War veterans and let them know the truth about why they're sick. And out of nowhere, I mean, Dave and I went up there. We were guests at their house, and we held a meeting. He had gotten a room at the VFW, I believe it was VFW or American Legion, And a man at the meeting that night was so angry at Ed that he would allow someone in there to say something about the Gulf War veterans, that they were really sick, or that the DOD wouldn't tell them that, and he threw a beer bottle at Ed Brown that night. I mean, that is the kind of man that he is, he stands for what he believes in. Now, see, they're not wanting to die for a tax issue. They want to die, I believe, or they're saying they are willing to die because they don't want to live in tyranny. You know, it's about eavesdropping on phone calls. It's about not having freedom of choice of health care. It's about the treatment of veterans. It's about what really happened on 9/11. It's about Katrina. It's the federal people that have made the issue, I believe, over the income tax. Because when you ask Ed, 10 years ago, he contacted the IRS and said, show me the law that requires me to pay my taxes, and I'll be more than happy to. It's not that he doesn't want to pay taxes. He believes he pays all that he legally owes. And so when people are willing to say, look, I'll die for something, I would think that every media and investigative person would be beating a path to their door to say, tell us your story.
But that's not happening.
No. We'll go to the IRS. We'll ask them the question. But they're not doing it. They're not even putting it in.
Well, and as you know, Joyce, over...
I want people to find out what incredibly wonderful people, Dr. Elaine, who is a dentist, she's a dentist. She is not somebody who just says, hey, I'm not going to pay. She is someone who says, I believe in this so much, I'm willing to give up my life. These are people who have children, grandchildren, pets, a beautiful home in New England, a beautiful home in New Hampshire. Dave has been up there 3 times, and he came back this last time, and he said, Joyce, they are willing to die. They have said they cannot live in tyranny. And he said, these are such beautiful people, and if the public finds out what beautiful people they are, they're dying. They're willing to die for all of us because it's wrong what's happening. Ron Paul is the only person who is addressing what this Constitution should be all about in this country today. Ed Brown wants to bring it back, wants to restore the Constitution for each and every one of us.
You know, Tom Crier, who was on this program a couple weeks ago, Louisiana attorney, he was acquitted on tax evasion charges. The jury said, you're not guilty. And, you know, that to me sends a huge message to Washington. Ed and Elaine Brown, of course, got convicted. And, you know, Elaine, I don't know. I think you're going to get a lot of support if you just came out. You know, nobody wants to see you two hurt.
Well, Judge, we're not coming out. We have committed no crimes. They have, as Joyce said, we've been asking the IRS actually since 1994 to show us the law, and they never have. And the reason they haven't is because there is no law. You know what could be simpler, to show us the law or to spend all this manpower, all these millions and millions of dollars on a non-case. And because we've committed no crime, we will absolutely not walk into their prison.
Elaine, I'm going to keep you for phone calls tonight. We haven't done that yet for 2 reasons. One, I want you to answer questions that people may have for you. But also, I want to see what kind of support you get. I want to see, you know, people who do pay taxes only because they think they have to. I want to see what their thoughts are on this. Joyce, do you want to stay with us, too?
Oh, you bet. Thank you so much.
Joyce, this is an incredible situation. You are right, and Elaine is right, and Ed is right. I mean, I've tried to find exactly the law that says you, Joyce Riley, you, Elaine Brown, you're compelled to pay federal income tax. I can't find it either. Yet for years, we've all gone along paying our taxes. Why?
Fear and lack of knowledge, George. Now, you know, the IRS works on intimidation. And boy, they're good at it.
I guess so many people would just rather pay the tax than to have to fight it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because there's a lot to lose. However, as a whole, this country has far more to lose by bowing to it.
I got to believe, Elaine, your dental practice is washed up? Or is it still up?
Oh, no, it's gone. It's gone. Totally. Yeah.
And you had built it up over the years.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yep. Yes, since 1993. Yes.
What if some of your patients said to you?
Well, I have had support from some. Others, you know, just have drifted away. I mean, obviously, they all need to have dental care, so, you know, they have called for records, and I have sent records out for them.
All right, well, stay with us. This is an incredible story. I mean, absolutely incredible, because I just want the truth, honestly. That's all I want. We're going to open up the phone lines, give you an opportunity to talk with both Elaine Brown and Joyce Riley. And look, if you don't agree with what Elaine and Ed are doing, don't attack them. Ask them a question. I'll be back in a moment. This is George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM. I'm getting a few fast blasts simply saying, hey, George, come on now. We have the 16th Amendment to the Constitution that gives Congress the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes. And wait a minute, that's where part of the problem is. The 16th Amendment apparently was never ratified. They didn't get all the states they needed. They somehow pushed this thing into law, but it wasn't ratified. So it's sitting out there. It looks like it's on the part of the Constitution, but apparently it really isn't. In a moment, Joyce Riley and Elaine Brown on Coast to Coast AM. And we're with Joyce Riley and Elaine Brown, who is in her home in New Hampshire right now. Joyce, am I correct that 16th Amendment was not truly ratified?
Well, that's certainly my understanding, and that's what a lot of people have found. Now, I'm not an expert on that, and I really would defer to somebody else who is. But it seems that a lot of these things are turning out to be what we have been told in the past, and then when people actually do the research, they are shocked to find this out, that in fact something like the 16th Amendment was not ratified or there is no law, and then people just absolutely are unable to even accept the fact that they have been lied to so long. And, you know, Dave Von Kleist, my husband, wrote a song for the Browns called Show Me the Law, and you can go to thepowerhour.com and just go to Dave's music, and it's right there.
Show Me the Law.
Show Me the Law, and it's an incredible song.
You got to get David over there and have him play it for us. Let's take some calls here. And Elaine, some of these calls, they're not going to be in favor. They believe that taxes need to be paid. And also, let me ask you, Elaine, are you talking about all taxes you don't think you should pay? I mean, are you paying Social Security? Do you pay your state income tax? Do you have a state income tax in New Hampshire? What taxes do you think you have to pay?
New Hampshire does not have a state income tax, but what would hold for a federal income tax is also true for a state income tax. We have certain rights granted us from God, and among those rights are the right to labor and the right to the fruit of our labor. And even the Supreme Court has declared that a right cannot be taxed. Now, back to the 16th Amendment. Don't forget, there is a Supreme Court decision that states that the 16th Amendment, whether it was ratified or not, is beside the point here. The 16th Amendment conferred no new taxing powers on Congress. So whatever they could do after the 16th was no different from what they could do before the 16th.
Mm-hmm. And taxes, let's say, on gasoline,
that all pays for the highways.
Yeah.
All those highway fees pays for the highways. The income tax, totally, according to the Graves Commission study, goes totally to pay the interest on the national debt, which then goes to the private bankers of the IMF, and that's what funds all the wars.
Well,
none of the income tax goes to run any of the country.
Well, and there is a big disagreement too. And what is compensation? What is income? You know, maybe we should just get Congress to sit down and decide with us just what the heck this is.
Well, Title 26 that we have studied specifies certain activities that are subject to an income tax. And they are activities involving alcohol, tobacco, foreign earnings, certain corporate activities. Those are the only specified items in Title 26 subject to an income tax. And it has been stated that the income tax is an indirect tax, which means that it is the activity that is the taxable item, and that the income of those activities is merely used to measure the amount of tax due. So there is not a direct tax on income, but an indirect tax on the activity itself.
You see, when a corporation has income, then they get to deduct almost everything. You know, their expenses, depreciation, their rent, everything.
Right.
You know, why can't a human being, if he has income, you know, write off all the food he buys and the clothes he buys and everything else, and then whatever's left, even if it's $10, pay his tax on that?
Well, again, it's our rights, our God-given rights. You know, the right to tax is the power to tax is the power to destroy. And people, just a common sense thing, to have to be to subject the fruits of your labor to this taxation just does not make sense, George.
Let's take some calls.
Okay.
People are waiting for you. And Joyce, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling from Manhattan.
Yes, sir.
But I'm originally from New Hampshire.
Okay.
And New Hampshire and northern New England in general does have a pretty significant libertarian streak to it. And being from there, I'm sympathetic to the cause of the federal tax protesters in general. But I have to say, since I've been living out of state for a while, I don't know much about this case. And I had two questions, I guess one of which was partially answered about local taxes. But is Arlene and Ed, are they paying their local property taxes and such, or... I didn't quite.
Well, let's find out. Elaine, do you pay property tax at all on your home?
We have always paid our property taxes. The last tax was due July 1st, which we did not pay. Now, the reason we did not pay that.
The cop said that the sheriff said he wasn't going to protect you and whatnot. Is that
right? They have broken their contract with us.
I see. But up until his statement, you were paying the property tax.
Right. She was.
Correct. Yes. We've always paid it. Yes.
All right. And then now, okay, well, that's interesting. So really what we're just talking about is your federal taxes that you're not wanting to pay. Okay.
Correct.
Now, like I said, I'm sympathetic to that cause in any event about not so much what the federal taxes go to, but what about the act of paying federal taxes in general, right? But it seems to me, at least in your last comment about the World Bank, this or that, that you're mixing two issues about. One is, does the federal government have the power to tax, which we can have a discussion about, or is it just you don't like what they're using the money for? And, you know, before I really get on your bandwagon, I have to say I was a little taken aback by that statement about the World Bank and the whatnot. And then about your guest, the other guest comment whose name I don't recall.
That's Joyce Riley.
Joyce, about the comments about, you know, what really happened on 9/11. And like I said, I'm, you know, being from Manhattan, when I hear the statements about, like, the truth of 9/11 or whatever, that makes me think about crazy conspiracy talk and whatnot.
And that's another show.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Are these people principled tax, federal tax protesters? And like I said, I don't know anything about Elena Red. Or is it just, and I don't want to sound offensive right here, but is this just some sort of quackery about conspiracy theories and that sort of thing, if you know what I'm trying to say here?
No, I would say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Elaine, you're there because of the income tax.
Right.
Okay.
Right. We're not tax protesters. We are protesting the misapplication of the tax. You know, Title 26 is okay, except for the fact that it's so confusing and so convoluted. It's okay if the application of it is limited to what is actually in the title. There's nothing in there that says that you and I have to pay that tax.
You know, Elaine, you and Ed should have used Tom Cryer's attorney, whoever he may be.
Larry Becraft.
Sounds like he's pretty good.
Well...
Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, thank you very much. I want to give my two thumbs up to these folks. I think they're heroes. I think they are absolutely the right thing at the right time. And let me just tell you my perspective from out here in California. There's a lot of folks out here, professional folks with families, mortgages, you know, professional careers. I mean, we're not talking guys living in caves or anything like that. These are very straightforward folks. There's a lot of people out there. I mean, a lot of people who are really fed up. they feel that they have been blatantly taken advantage of, that their tax dollars have disappeared and have been taken from them in ways which absolutely do not reflect the nature of what this country was founded on. In other words, let me explain this. This country was founded on the concept of freedom from taxation without representation. That was the original reason we fought against the British. It was for that very purpose that the Constitution was constructed. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be paying our taxes. I thoroughly support the idea of paying taxes, but we'd like to have a little better handle on how those taxes are collected. I think we're way, way overdue for some kind of massive reform. I don't mean just adding on more complexity to an already hopelessly complex IRS code. I mean, the code is tens of thousands of pages long. Then even for ordinary citizens who have to now hire tax specialists and consultants, sometimes paying those consultants more than the actual tax they owe, this is craziness. This is stupidity. You know, the whole system's kind of collapsing inward. So my interpretation of it is we need to revise the system completely. Maybe it's a national sales tax. Maybe it's a different kind of way of, you know, processing the tax on a needs basis. But the current system is completely flawed, and it's extremely corrupt. Like Joyce Riley was saying earlier, a lot of people are realizing that there is so much corruption in the way that Congress is petitioned by lobbyists, the big corporations don't pay any taxes at all. Most of the corporations have their home offices or their corporate headquarters overseas. They don't have to pay any kind of taxes. I mean, the average person, they recognize this. They know there's something wrong with this.
Well, and look what's happening to the people with their homes now. The foreclosures are at a record rate.
At 25% now.
There's going to come a point where the haves and the have-nots are going to really meet together, and we're going to have a problem.
We're going to have a serious problem. I mean, right now, we owe trillions of dollars to China, of all places. We also owe billions of dollars to, you know, people like Saudi Arabia and so on. Our spending process has gone so far out of control, and mainly because there's such a separation between what the average person has to pay in the tax system and some kind of answerability to how those taxes are spent. That's where I think the real conflict is. So, again, I'm not saying we shouldn't be paying our fair share of taxes. Quite the opposite. I would be willing to pay more taxes if the tax system was fair, if there was some accountability for it. I think that's what the real issue is.
All right. Elaine, would you favor some kind of a flat rate tax or a use tax or anything like that?
No tax on people's earnings at all. Some kind of a national sales tax or something like that, I have no problem with. At least that gives you a choice, you know?
Okay.
You can buy a Chevy or you can buy a Mercedes.
Right, exactly. You can buy a new suit or not. It's your choice.
Right. No one's going to come and grab your home, destroy your family, totally demolish your business, kill you. You know, even the U.S. Marshals have made the statement that they know we have committed no crime. But they're still going to go ahead and come after us because that's what the judge told them.
Well, and what about accountability? You know, even though we're supposed to vote for those who then spend our money, I mean, the accountability is out of whack.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It has been our experience, for one thing, that we have no courts left. Our experience in our case has been such that the courts are mindful of the laws that are to their advantage, to the government's advantage, and if it is to their disadvantage, they either ignore it or totally disobey it.
Joyce, what kind of reaction do you get to the Power Hour when you and David are on the air?
Well, the people want to hear so much from them on an ongoing basis. But you see, they are not looking for public attention. They have never called the Power Hour and said, can we come on the air?
No, and we go to her, by the way, everybody knows.
We're always going to them. They are simply saying, here's the truth. If you want it, fine. If not, fine. I mean, I understand that they asked the police at one point to remove one of the major news networks from their property because of the way they were handling themselves. They are not after media attention. They're after the truth. That's all they are about, the truth about all the issues, but basically this one. And this is the one they're focusing on, and thank God they are focusing on it, so it'll bring a laser beam light to this issue so we can finally get a response. But people are hungry to find out about them because they can't believe the two people in this country are willing to die for an issue if that's what it costs them, and willing to give up everything their own, like Elaine giving up her dental practice, giving up their home, giving up their whatever, people are fascinated by this, and they want to know the truth behind it, but they can't get the IRS to respond.
You know, Elaine, when I heard about the shots fired this weekend, I went, oh, my God, no. Just tell me this is not happening to you two. And like you say, we don't know who fired those shots. But I got to tell you, it was tense. Probably worse for you two, obviously.
Right, right. And of course, coincidentally, just about a half hour before we heard the first shot, there was some pretty significant websites that were suddenly shut down. You know, Prison Planet, We Are Change. You know, Alex Jones.
Alex is sure.
And Alex claims that the way his website was shut down was by a very sophisticated method.
But he's had server problems in the past, though.
Yeah, well, you know, those things happen. Earlier that day, our house guest, Danny, the one who was shot at a few weeks ago, he had gone into town for something. And when he came back, the police chief in his patrol car was sitting across our driveway, blocking our driveway. So when Danny came up, the chief backed his car up and allowed Danny to come in.
Yeah.
Then immediately thereafter, they went back up with a camera, and he had already left. And there was this big peel-out mark in the gravel where he had, you know, peeled out and dug up the gravel. So we called the police department to speak with him, and his response was that he purposely did that in order to be able to go back and count the number of tire tracks that went across his peel mark to be able to keep track of how many vehicles are coming into our home. Because the day of the concert, about 2.5 weeks ago, his car counter that he had placed at the bottom of our road disappeared.
Elaine, if there were a law that clearly spelled out your need and Ed's need to pay income tax, would you have paid it?
Of course. We've been saying that since 1994. We even said it at the trial, George. Show me the law and pay it right now. They never did that. The whole trial was nothing but a compilation of amounts of money made, amounts of money supposedly due, but never once did the prosecutor show the law that required us to do so.
Did you have a jury?
Yes, we had a jury, but the judge told the jury, you cannot look at the law. You can only judge this case.
Wow.
I will tell you what the law says.
Oh, you were trapped from the get-go. Let's take another quick call. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Z.
Yes, my name is Jeff from Rochester, New York.
Hey, Jeff. Go ahead, sir.
I just want to say I totally disagree. What she's doing is totally wrong. Totally wrong. And the other woman was talking about people are fascinated by this. I'm not fascinated by it at all. I think it's totally wrong what she's doing. And, you know, justice will be served, and she will be getting a knock on her door and taken away and arrested.
Now, let me ask you, Jeff, if you say it's totally, totally wrong because they're not paying it, or totally wrong because you think they're wrong, tell me what you think is wrong.
Because they don't want to pay.
Okay. If you were shown, and I don't know what it is, honestly, but if you were shown that you didn't have to pay, that there is really no law, would you pay?
You know, I was born and raised to pay.
So was I. And I do, every year.
It's just common sense. That's the way I believe. It's just common sense. You do the right thing, and that's that. I mean, she's no different, no special than anybody else. She's no better than anybody else, nothing. I pay, you pay. It's just, hey, you pay. Simple as that. You pay and you move on.
Go ahead, Elaine. I'll let you finish up. We've only got about 20 or 30 seconds left. That's probably the big argument you get from people who do not support you.
Right. Well, seeing that they have never shown us a law requiring us to pay, then anyone who pays does so voluntarily. And if you so choose to pay into that system, well, fine. That's certainly your right to do so.
Elaine, we're going to stay at this with you, and you, Joyce, will keep in touch, and let's see what happens. Elaine, you and Ed stay safe, all right?
Thank you, George.
We don't want anything to happen to you. I just want to get to the truth. In a moment, L.A. Marzulli joins us, Lynn Marzulli, as we talk about prophecy and the supernatural. Lynn's new book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, get ready for one heck of a coast-to-coast ride. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.